2 Kings chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Now Ahab has died, and his son Ahaziah has come in his place. And if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 22 and the last three verses, 51 to 53, you will find the summary of Ahaziah's reign. It was brief, but he walked in the ways of his father and his mother, and the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. And what a combination, what a toxic mixture, Ahab, Jezebel, and Jeroboam. He provoked the Lord to anger. It was old sins, casting long shadows. You see, Ahab and Jezebel had sown the wind, and Israel reaped the whirlwind in Ahaziah. The Bible says, the proverb says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And of course, this is often quoted, and I've quoted it myself, in prayer, hoping, trusting in the Lord, that you bring up a child according to Scripture, pointing him to Christ, and that child will never depart from it. We hope and pray that. But of course, that's only half the story. Train up a child in wickedness, in false prophecy, false prophets, and idolatrous worship, and you must not be surprised if that child never departs from it. In the mercy of God, of course, conversion comes. Yeah, he knows how to convert. But the truth is, parents have a responsibility. And Ahaziah is the son of his parents, like father, like son. For this is what we have here. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. Let me just pause there. Some, I think Arthur Pink, they can speculate about why this was and so on, but we don't know. It may have been an accident. He may have been culpable. I don't know. But the fact is, he injured himself. These things come to us, good or bad, my friend, godly or ungodly. We know what it is to suffer affliction and setback and disappointment. The prosperity gospelers may tell us that we'll never be ill and never be hurt, but the truth is, we can be godly or righteous, and we can still fall and stumble and cut and hurt ourselves. Anyway, Ahaziah is unwell. He's injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, go and consult. Now, what is he interested in, and where does he go? That's the question here. What is he interested in? Well, he wants to know, doesn't he? What he can do to get better and so on? Not at all. Not at all. He wants to turn this to good effect. Not at all. No. All he's interested in is, will I recover? That's all he's interested in. And where does he go to find out? Here is a king of Israel. A king of Israel. Here is the king of Israel. And where does he go? He sent his messengers where? Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. You see, there's two things here. All he's interested in is, will I recover? And where does he go to find out? Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Affliction shows his true colors, you see. Well, so does success, as a matter of fact. True colors. Where does he instinctively turn? And what does he turn to this source for? Where do you instinctively turn, my friend? When troubles come to you, and they do come, oh, you can pretend, but they do come. You can hide your head in the sand, but, oh no, burying your head in the sand is no way round it. You meet trouble and affliction. Where do you go? You see, this man goes to religion, false gods, false prophets, idols, anything and everything. Where do you go? And he wanted to find out if the illness was fatal. He's not interested in his soul. He's not interested in his spiritual state. He's not interested in Israel. He's not interested in the spiritual welfare of Israel. All he's interested in is God's decree. Will I get better? He's not interested in God's revelation. He's not interested in his duty. He's interested in God's decrees. You see, Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children. This man is interested in the secret things, but he couldn't care tuppence. He couldn't care a shekel about the revealed things. But that's the things we must be concerned about. Unbeliever, the revelation of God is clear. You must repent and believe, and you will be damned if you don't. You must trust Christ. John 3, verse 18, John 3, verse 36 is explicit. Acts 17, 30, 31, and so on. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Acts 16, 30, 31, and so on. You'll find, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Oh, yes, your duty is laid out in Scripture. Are you interested in God and his word? Will you obey it? Or where will you turn? And believer, are you interested in prophetical matters and speculations? Or do you read your Bible to seek God's will for your life and his commands and your duty? You're a believer. You're under the law of Christ. Will you obey that law? Do you want to know if a man loves me? He will keep my commandments. Where do you instinctively turn, I ask? Ahaziah turns to Baal-zebub. Where do you go? All men are religious. All men have a God. You know, Richard Dawkins, all these men who dismiss the existence of God, they have a God, and they turn to him in their troubles and afflictions. It may be their reason. It may be luck, it may be fate, it may be chance, it may be money, it may be power, it may be anything and everything. But there is the Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, and he's still around. And this is what Ahaziah does. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. The time will come, well, it's here, isn't it, when men will not abide the word of God. So what do? There's no void or gap. They turn aside from the truth, and where do they go? They go to myth and fable. They abandon God. They abandon his word. But they fill up the gap with the Baal-zebubs or whatever it may be. Isaiah 2:6. They abandon God, and they go to superstition. You see, this man had not learned by his parents. He copied them, but he knew what their death was, and it was horrible. It was a tremendous insult and shame and ignominy. But he still didn't learn. Isaiah speaks of it. Isaiah 43:22, 47 verse 12 and on. People turning aside, going after myth and fable, filling up their lives with anything and everything, copying the pagans. And today, evangelical and reformed believers are absolutely, openly advocating going to the pagans. Let's see how the football teams win their matches. Let's see how the businesses run their business. Let's see how the machines make their profits, the businesses, the manufacturers and so on. They tell us how to do it. The sociologists tell us how to do it. Let's copy them. My friend, we have the Bible. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, and if they won't consult this word, it's because they have no light in them. Where do you go, my friend? You see, if it's not God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, if it's not the Word of God, Christ, the living Word, the written Word, the Scriptures, if it's not that, the Holy Spirit guiding us through his Word, what is it? It's babblings, it's myths, it's worldly advice, it's schemes of the world, it's the clever pagan ideas. God deliver us from it. Who is your authority? Who is your guru and teacher? I remember speaking to a group of people. Well, remember, we were studying John 5 and John 6 at the time, and we'd spent weeks in those passages. And I remember a lady at the end saying, just out of the blue, she said, well, of course, when you die, it's just snuffed out. That's the end of it. So I said to her, well, how do you say that? for these weeks we've been discussing about the resurrection. We've been learning from Jesus, talking about the resurrection. Oh no, she says, when you die, you're just snuffed out. I said, well, why do you say that in the light of what you've been reading here? And so, well, she said, you are. I said, well, what's your authority for it? She said, well, my husband said so. My husband told me. I said, your husband told you? Yes. Because her husband said that when you die, that's the end of it. That was her authority. And yet she had been reading and hearing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she believed her husband. How foolish. But then Ahaziah, he won't go to Elijah. He won't go to the prophets of God. He won't go to the scriptures. Where does he go? He goes to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. He goes to the wrong place, and he's looking for the wrong thing. He's looking into God's decrees. My friend, don't speculate. Read the Bible to see what you must do. And if you're an unbeliever, you must repent and believe. And if you are a believer, you must walk in the commandments of Christ. I say that to myself, but I say it to you also. Look in the right place and look for the right reason. You see, Ahaziah tells us, I looked in the wrong place. And I looked for the wrong reason. May we learn from him and cultivate the good, the right place, and the right reason.